So today we begin Simen Shin Ayin Aleph. Shin Ayin Aleph, page 474. 474 touches upon a concept called Schirus, when we deal with the God, but that's not the major theme. Okay, we'll touch upon that a little bit. Okay, before we begin, if we have the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, I want to read a very nice Hakdama. On the left side, and it's again it's page 474, the beginning of Shin Ayin Aleph, Seif Aleph. On the left side, there is a Hakdama. I would like to read the Hakdama because it lays out a lot of the Yesodos for this entire Simen. So let's see. The Gemara Matzina Machlokes Tanoim Lagabi Chaser Sheyesh Ba Botim. In the Gemara Masecht Erevin, there is Machlokes Tanoim. With regard, now there are a lot of important points, and you'll see why I want to focus on this Hagdama in a moment, why I want to go through the different opinions. There are four opinions. There's something very interesting with regard that's unique to the laws of Erevin, but there's a machlekes tanoim with regard to the following halacha. L'gabi chotzer sheyesh ba botim v'tzorch l'arev ba kedei lahatir tiltol me'abotim l'chotzer, you have to make an erev in order to be permitted to carry from the botim to the chotzer, oy lehepach. That's the topic. Topic of discussion is, we have here in this courtyard, let's say for example, five homes, and four people are currently living here, but one person is out of town. He's not here. The person that's not here, does he cause a problem for the remaining four people that are living in this courtyard?
It's a temporary situation.
Temporary situation, but for this Shabbos, it's permanent. For this Shabbos, he's not here. He's out of town. He's in another country. He's past the Tchum. He's not around. And he did not contribute towards the Erev. So we have five homes. Four people have contributed. Number five did not contribute. If he was living here, he would prevent everyone from being permitted to carry. But we're lucky because he's not here. He is away for Shabbos. Does he cause a problem? So we have different opinions. To make matters more complex, who says this fifth person is a Jew? Maybe he is a non-Jew. He's a goy. Now, we have not yet learned these halachas in detail. If we have a courtyard of, let's say, five people, and four of them are Jewish, and one is not Jewish, how do you deal with the non-Jew? So we mentioned yesterday very briefly that the non-Jew does not contribute towards an Erev, because the purpose of the Erev is to bring everyone together to be one big happy family, and you do not want to become one big happy family with a goy, right? That is Kneged Kol HaTorah Kula. So what do you do? So it's called Schiras Makom. You rent his house. You give him a few dollars. It's like Mechiras Chametz. You rent, give him a few dollars, and he basically gives over ownership of his home to the group, to the community, to the people in the Chotzer. That is what is done. Let's say the guy is not home. He is out of town, and he has not done, we have not done with him this technique called Schiras Makom. Does the guy ruin it for the remaining residents of this courtyard? So two different situations. Courtyard of five homes, four of them are Jewish, one, the fifth is also a Jew, and the Jew did not contribute towards the Erev, he is out of town. Or the fifth person is a guy, and the guy, we did not do with the guy, is Schiras Makom. So what is the law? So here in this Hakdama, we are going to present four opinions. And we'll see why we need all four opinions in a moment. Something very interesting. So here we go. Number one is Aleph Das Rebbe Meir. Tana number one. Shebein im aholech hunachu, bein im hu Yisrael, harehu Yisrael b'nei hachotzer, aser. Rabbi Meir is very strict. If you have a person who lives in this courtyard and is not home, it does not make a difference whether he's a Jew or a guy. He is a problem. No one is allowed to carry in the courtyard. Uvetam Dvar. It's very important to understand the reason because that will apply throughout the entire simin. Perish Rashi. Mishum Shadir B'Lebolim Nechsheves L'Dira. Adira, a home in which there is no one living, doesn't matter. It's called in halacha a dira, and every dira must contribute towards the v'tzricho l'shtatev b'erev. And me'el of yoseres al shor hadayari mechotzer, it is a problem for the remaining people in the courtyard. Im lo'inasnach chelko be'erev, period. Okay, v'chazonish hikshe, sheze negin maskonas ha'sugya sham, v'chazonish does not approve of Rash's opinion, but we'll put that aside for now. Number two, base. Das Rebbe Yehuda. Second opinion in the Gemara. Shebein imahoylech nachri, ubein imahu yisrol enom oishem. The complete opposite of Rabbi Meir, it's not a problem. V'tam devarav mishum shadir b'loy b'olim eina nechshavis l'dira. V'eina tzrich l'shtatik b'eiv mishum kach eina oiseres. Period. Gimel, opinion number three. Das Rabbi Yossi, shema holechu nochri harei yoyz, but a compromise. If it's a goy is a problem. V'imu yisrael eina oiser. Okay? Compromise. A goy is a problem. A Jew is not a problem. Uperish Rashi. Shaf mi shadash av yud yabiyos shadir b'loy b'olim eina nechshav sadira. Mikol mokom b'nochri goy zrim shemel yeva b'shabes. Why is a goy worse? Because a goy may arrive. He may come back. A Jew is not going to come back. Generally, it's a different. A Jew on Shabbos is settled. A guy, there's no different Shabbos and the whole week. There's only a Shabbos. So just because the guy went away for Shabbos, he went away for Saturday, it's meaningless. He'll come back. When a Jew goes away for Shabbos, Shabbos is Shabbos. I'm going to my family. I'm going to one of my children. I'm going to a neighbor. You don't think along those lines that you're going to change your residence in the middle of the day. So when a Jew goes away, he's not going to ruin it. We assume he's gone. He's gone. He's not a problem for this courtyard. When a goy goes away, even though he tells you, I'm going away, I'm not going to be here for Shabbos, so technically, really, it's not a problem because he's not present. He's not present. We're following the opinion of Rabbi Meir. He's not here. It's not a problem. However, He's not here. But being that a goy can come back at any moment in time because Shabbos does not have any special meaning for the goy, therefore the goy will be a problem because of the possibility that he will come back. Now we come to opinion number four. Opinion number four is Das Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says something very important. This is really what it says in Shulchan Aruch. We have to focus on this opinion. I believe there's a mistake here in the Dirshu. There's missing a word. We'll see in a moment. It's very obvious missing a word. Shebein Nachri Ubein Yisrael Einam Aishim. We're very lenient. Generally speaking, if a Jew or a guy, they're not home, it's okay. We're very lenient. However, V'afilu Cholach Yisrael L'chatz Acheres Einam Aishim. Provided, im, you have to add one word here. Im ein, the word ein is missing. Im ein daitoi lachzor lebeisai. If he's not planning on coming back, only if the Jew is not planning on coming back. But if the Jew is planning on coming back
on Shabbos.
Das, one more time. So das Rabbi Shimon de shabein nochri ubein Yisrael. Now the chiddush is, he's nearby. What is Rabbi Shimon coming to add that we do not already know from the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda says that because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the only time a Jew is not going to prohibit is only when the Jew is outside the tchum. See, that's some very important point that we left out. According to Rabbi Yehuda, a Jew is not a problem when the Jew is far, far away. He's in another country. He's outside the tchum, so it is impossible for him to come back. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, let's say this Jew is a wealthy individual and he has many homes and they're all next to each other. And even though for this Shabbos he has settled in a home next door, but he may come back. At any moment in time, he's close. He has the ability to return to this chotzer. Rabbi Yehuda will be of the opinion that it is a problem for the people of the chotzer because he may arrive, he may change his mind on Shabbos, and he's able to return because he is nearby. According to Rabbi Shimon says, if this Jew has told us that he's not going to be present in this courtyard on Shabbos, even though he can come back because he's nearby, we believe him. It's as if he's in another country and he's not going to be a problem for the people of this courtyard. That's the additional chiddush of Rabbi Shimon, the added leniency over Rabbi Yehuda. Even though he is close, if he tells us that he's not coming back, we believe him and he is not a problem for us even if he does come back.
Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda have a fear of Rabbi Yossi's fear the guy will come back?
Why doesn't Rabbi Shimon? We'll see. The different opinion. We'll see. As we go through the similar things, will become clear. Let's just get the basic ideas. Dash Rabbi Shimon Shabbein Achri Ben Yisrael Einu Ma'ishim Afilu Halacha Yisrael Chacheres Einu Ma'isar Im Ein Daitay Lachzar Lebeisai Ule Halacha. How do we paskin? So we're going to see now in the Mechaber the Yisrael Pais Kim Kedas Rabbi Shimon. Halacha lemaisa, that's going to be the entire theme of this siman. We're going to be extremely lenient. If we have a courtyard, there are five homes, four of them are occupied by Jews, and the fifth one is owned by a Jew, but the Jew is not home. The Jew is next door. He's in the courtyard on the other side of the fence. He's right around the corner. It's okay. He's not living here on the Shabbos. Even though he is Dalet Amos away, he's in the next courtyard. It's okay. This courtyard is safe. But what about a goy? How do we pass with regard to a goy? If a goy is not home, this is a disagreement between the Mechaber and the Ramah. As we will see as we go through the Simmons. Okay, we have four opinions, and we're going to mix and match, take a little bit from one and a little bit from the other to come up with a bottom with a halacha lemaisa. And before we actually read this, I want to show something very interesting. If you turn to the next page, and you return to the next page in the Deir Shul, I'll tell you which number is second. Number 10. Okay, turn to the next page. Deir Shul, entry number 10. Now, don't worry exactly what it's the details, but Kedas Rabbi Yehuda b'Mishnah. We're going to quote a halacha there in a few moments, which follows Rabbi Yehuda. Right, Rabbi Yehuda was the one that said that we're leaning across the board, even by a guy. Remember, we had four opinions, and Rabbi Yehuda was. We're lenient, even by a Jew and by a guy. We're always lenient. Yatam shepasak kimoso. The reason why we're going to be lenient according to the Mechaber, we're going to be lenient. Kasu harash v'amordechai mishum shehalacha kedivrei hamekel be'er. Remember we had this before? Mm-hmm. There's a unique law when it comes to laws of Erevin. Halacha kedivrei hamekel be'er. I think we're all familiar with this from the laws of Avelos. By Avelos, halacha kedivrei hamekel by Avelos. The same principle is true when it comes to the laws of Erevin. We pass like the most lenient opinion. And that by the way, that halacha is not something which is abused. When we say halacha kedivrei hamekel by Erev and by Avelos, it means a machlekes in the Gemara. Machlekes, the Tanoim, Amoraim, even the Rishonim sometimes, but not a halacha when it comes to a poskim in this generation. If you have a unique situation and you have a disagreement between Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish, you don't apply the rule halacha kedivri hamekel by Avelos when you're dealing with poskim from the 20th century. You apply halacha kedivri hamekel by Erev, time of the Gemara, time of the Tanoim, the Gemara, even the Rishonim, some even say even the early Achronim. But there's a limit to how far we go with that. Here we're dealing with Tanoim. Okay, we're dealing with Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. It doesn't get better than this. It doesn't get better than this. And the Meila Halacha Kedivri HaMekel Be'eriv, we pass in like Rabbi Yehuda according to the Mechaber. We'll see across the board if the Jew or the guy is not present, the courtyard is okay. And then he goes on to say something that is fascinating.
Can I just ask one question?
Yeah.
How do you possibly forget
it? It depends. It all depends. It all depends on can I answer that question? There are many factors that go.
Consult with your local rabbi.
Your local confident Orthodox rabbi.
Let's see.
The harash
hoisif. Now here's another very interesting point. The harash hoisif. Sha'af al pi sheklal hu biyodeinu b'machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi. We have a general rule in halacha, in shas, shulchan aruch, in Rambam. Whenever you have a gemara and there's a disagreement between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, shehalacha k'Rabbi Yossi. So how do we reconcile these two opinions? We presented four opinions. Rabbi Yehuda was the most lenient. And Rabbi Yossi was number gimel. And he was of the opinion that the goy always a problem. When a goy leaves, the goy is not present, it doesn't matter. A goy can return any moment in time. And so what are we going to do? How do we reconcile these two principles of halacha? Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, Bechol, Hatarakula, and Shulchanar, Cheshemishpa, Yeredev, and Ezer, Erechayim, we pass in like Rabbi Yossi. And that would mean in this case, we should pass that a goy is a problem. The goy is not present, since he can return any moment in time, the courtyard should be problematic. Also, and yet, halacha kedivri hamekel be'eruv, but generally, halacha kedivri be'eruv, that would be, we have machlekes should be made in b'shimen. Here, the two rules conflict. They overlap. Halacha kedivri hamekel be'eruv, and halacha is always like Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Yehuda. But here, Rabbi Yossi is the machmir, and Rabbi Yehuda is the mekel. So which one of these two principles wins in this situation where they're at odds with each other? The answer is halacha kedivri hamekel. Halacha kedivri hamekel carries more weight than the other general rule of passing like Rabbi Yossi b'chol ha'tarakula. That's a very, yeah.
A fundamental thing, I don't understand this whole concept of God.
Yeah.
Why can't I say the God doesn't exist?
No. He does exist.
But why do I have to consider him at all? He said, why can't I say he's a non-entity?
Let's go back to the general, the prohibition. Why is one not allowed to carry from his home to the courtyard? It's a Rishus Hayachid. The courtyard has four walls. It doesn't get better than this. We're not dealing with a Tzuras HaPesach. The answer is, in this courtyard there are multiple homes. Each home is a Rishus that is Miyuchet for one family, one Rishus. The courtyard is shared by a group of people. It resembles the concept of carrying from a Rishus Hayachid to a Rishus Harabim. Even though a real Rishus Harabim, there are no walls, and there are many conditions that create a real Rishus Harabim, but the central theme of a Rishus Harabim, the most basic characteristic of a Rishus Harabim, is it's a domain that is shared by a group of people. A goy also contributes to that concept, that it's a group of people. My home is private. This area is not private. There are 10 people that use this area. So just because he's not religious, he's a goy, this courtyard, he also has rights. What?
I want to make the
goy. He's not a non-entity. A goyim are non-entity.
You
can
make an error.
What?
Take it a step further. We say, okay, he's an entity. So let's make an error. No, we don't want to make an error with a goy. Right? You can't make the Erev with the guy. You can't include him. He doesn't contribute to the pas.
Exactly. So they have to, another technique.
So you have two extremes. Either you buy the Rishus.
Yes. Right. Correct. That's what you do.
This is the outlet. Or you say, you know what? You're a guy. Thank you very much. But we don't want to consider you at all.
But you...
He's an entity.
He isn't. And you have to deal with him.
The Erev with.
You can't...
But he has property rights. That's
exactly.
Not an halacha.
Yes, he does. Of course, an halacha. Well, of course, an halacha. He has property rights. Absolutely, he has rights. A goy is a human being. It's selam alakim.
I'm talking about his rights to come into the courtyard. It's his courtyard as well as mine. And the four Jews.
He doesn't care about him.
But the question is, an halacha.
Yeah.
Does he have rights that I must, in order to, for me as a Jew to be able to carry my, in this courtyard shared by four Jews and one guy, I have to somehow appease him, or I have to include him halachically to get that away from
you
him.
Do. Look, you do.
Where there are neighborhood eruv, right? Don't they have to consult the town council and everything? Don't they have to get everybody's permission?
That's right.
That's different. The town council is not an active participant in it. No. In other words, they're passive. They give permission to use their lines or what. But here you want the guy to have a more participatory.
Because it's position. Public property. It's on public property, so they have to be concerned.
Yeah, courtyard's on public property.
Well, I'm just illustrating the principle. No, but it's private property, and he has private property rights.
Yeah, but we'll look. Property. I guess Hesh and I have a problem too. Is including him in a halachic decision that impacts on Jews.
Throw me into that.
It's a very strange concept.
I mean, what if he refuses?
Then you're right. If he refuses, then there's no Erev.
There we go.
There is no Erev.
Then you got a problem.
You have a problem.
That's right. Absolutely. We're going to learn the details. We come. That's going to be much later on. We're going to learn all those details. All the details. We'll get to that with the deer shoe, hopefully at some point in time. But we don't. That's not the focus here. We'll get to that. Okay. The focus here is we have a courtyard. A courtyard needs an eruv. The concept is you're going from a rishus that's private to a rishus that's shared. There are two different people which share the rishus, Jews and non-Jews. For the Jews, we have a technique called an eruv, which we've learned in great detail. For the non-Jews, there's a technique called schiras makom, which we'll get to later on. Now we have a situation, a different. That's the focus of the halacha here is where the Jew or a non-Jew who has not contributed towards the Erev or has not been dealt with through Schiras Makom is not present. They have an empty home. Is this empty home a problem? We have presented four opinions. There are four opinions in the Gemara. Among these four opinions are Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda is the most lenient of all of the opinions because he's the one that says by Jew and a guy, we don't have to. There's no problem if they're not living here. It's okay. And Rabbi Yossi is a mix. Along comes the problem is we have a general rule throughout Shas. Whenever there's a disagreement between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. But we have another principle in Halacha that tells us Halacha kidivrei hamekel be'erif. So in this case, who is more lenient? Rabbi Yehuda is more lenient. Which of these two wins? Who's the one who says this? The Drisha? Along comes the Mefarish and say a new rule when the two conflict. Halacha kedivrei hamekel be'erev is what wins out. That I believe is a very interesting what. According to Rosh, I'm just turning to the page again. Right, Kosovo Rosh, correct. It doesn't matter when it comes to Erevin, we're going to follow Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so therefore that's why this case, well, it's a third principle. It's another principle he's saying. Another principle is that even though forget putting aside Nagel Machmir, Rabbi Yehuda in the laws of Erevin is always the winner. It's always the winner. So there are only three principles. Rabbi Yehuda, we always pass like him. We have another principle, Halach Divrei HaMekel. Another principle, generally, throughout Shas, Rabbi Yossi wins Rabbi Yehuda. But not when it comes to Erevin. And also, I guess you have to take into consideration also the fact that Halacha Kedivrei Hamekel Be'erev. Okay, so this is just a very interesting point. Yeah. Yeah.
Is there such a thing as an abandoned property?
Yes.
So why can't I
we're going to learn about that right now.
Beating a dead horse. Why can't I treat
as an abandoned
property? Abandoned property.
Because it's not abandoned. It's not. A guy is a human. One thing very. You learn Nevi'im. You learn Yeshaya. You learn Yechezkel. You learn Yirmiyah. You learn Treyasar. What comes out is the goyim are major league players in this world. See, I don't know about you, but I'm brought up in a world. You grew up in a world you're very sheltered. Even in America, you grew up in a world where the goyim did nothing. Nothing. Yidden, everything, the whole world was created for Klal Yisrael. And you look at the goyim like they don't exist. That's not true. I mean, unfortunately, we do that because we've been persecuted and there's such danger. We live in a society where there's great danger, so we're forced to shelter ourselves with such an upbringing. But if you look at the big picture, you look at Yeshaya Levim, what's interesting is that most of their prophecies were not for Klal Yisrael. They were for the world. They were Klal Yisrael doesn't need a prophet. They know what to do. They learn Torah. We have Rabbanim. We have Talmidei Chachamim. We're preaching to the choir. That's what a prophet. Okay, of course you have the Musa. You have Yeshaya. It has to be taken with a grain of salt, of course. But a major chunk of their messages were to the world, because the Goyim had play a major part in in giving honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't have Tayag Mitzvos. No, they have Shabbos B'nai Noach.
They recognize them as such.
So when we're dealing in Halacha, Halacha, of course, takes very seriously the status of the guy. We have a courtyard. They exist. It's a Rishus HaRabim. And we have to rectify the situation with Schiras Makom. If you don't rectify the situation, we have a problem. Okay, let's at least learn a little bit of Halacha. Now we've got the basic Yisuf. Let's run through the Halacha very quickly. Echad, now before we go into the halacha, let me just tell you another word of Hagdama. The yisod, the principle that runs through the entire simon is, if when the Erev takes effect, which is Bein Hashmashos, Erev Shabbos, at that point in time you don't anticipate problems. Everything is good. There's nothing weighing down on your mind. Then generally speaking, you're okay. If a problem arises on Shabbos, you don't have to take it into consideration that much. Well, there are, of course, there are major exceptions. But if you anticipate that something will be a problem before Shabbos begins, then already the Erev is not a 100%. Okay, and we'll see the different examples of that as we go through this. Let's start right away. Aleph, echad nechatzes shenich beis, a person in the courtyard who has abandoned his home. Shenich doesn't mean abandoned; he's just not home. He left his home. V'holach v'shavas bechatzra acheres, and he went and he resided in another courtyard. Now, simply that means it's nearby; it's not so far away. Afilu hoyt esmuchel lechatzer, even if it's near his courtyard, which means that he has the ability, if he wants, on a moment's notice, to return to the other courtyard. So we're dealing over here with a Jew. If he has decided, this is Rabbi Shimon, if he has made a conscious decision that he will not return to courtyard number one, he will spend the Shabbos in courtyard number two. And he has not contributed towards the Erev, he is not a problem. The other residents of courtyard A are allowed to carry in the courtyard without his participation. Only by a Jew. Aval in Yehudi, but a God, afilu halach lishpos b'ir acheres, even another city far away. Oyser aleihem. He is a problem. Ad sheyiskiru mimenu mekaymo, until we rent his rishus, which is a topic to itself, which is not the focus of this simon. This simon with that halach of schis makom is to be discussed later. Ba'im huikara mahalach yomechad, if he is nearby, if he can travel within one day's journey back to this home, we have to take into consideration the possibility that he will return. And if he will return, we have another resident who has not contributed towards the Erev, cannot, because he's a guy, and we have not done with him Schiras Makom, will be a problem. Let's say the guy is at a distance of more than one day, so it is impossible for him to return on Shabbos, then Einoy oiser. So basically, which Tana is this following? The Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Really, it's a combination of the leniency of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon explicitly said that even if the Jew can return, he's in another chatzar, he's around the corner. If he wants, on a moment's notice, he can return to this courtyard and go back to his house. If he has made a conscious decision that he's going to remain on Shabbos in a different courtyard, then the Jew, and he's not present, he's not a problem for courtyard number one. And the guy is also not a problem, provided that he's far away, that he's not able to physically return on this Shabbos. The Yeshayimim, some disagree. Some say we should not be so generous. Shagam, Ein Yehudi, Imholach, Lishpois, Bechotzer, Acheres, Ein, it's even more generous. If a guy also, a bigger Chiddush, that if a guy, even if he's another court and he has made a decision, even in that situation, he told us that he's not coming back, Ein Yoyser. The Chaynir Iker, and the Ramos says that's Iker, we can be even more lenient. The guy, if he has decided that he's not going to spend the Shabbos here with us, we have not done Schiras Makom from the guy, it is okay. But in the parenthesis it says, Yehudi Yehudi B'Shabbos, but if the guy does come, let's say suddenly he arrives on Shabbos, then the bottom line is, you have to stop carrying. If the guy does arrive on Shabbos, he was nearby, he told us that for this Shabbos, he's going to his neighbor, he's going to watch football the whole Shabbos, he's not coming back, and then suddenly he shows up, on Shabbos, so at that moment in time, everyone is no longer allowed to carry from their homes to the courtyard because they have not done with this guy's Schiras Makom. Now, this is very interesting. Additional Shaila, what is called a day's travel? According to the first opinion, the first opinion says that if a guy is nearby, he's a problem. The only time the guy, if he's at a distance, it's not a problem. The only time a guy is not a problem is if the guy is more than one day's journey. He's at a distance of one day. How does that apply in modern times? Does that mean the guy is past the tchum? He can't walk here? But let's say the guy is in California. There's no way in the world he can walk from California to New York over Shabbos. But he got on a plane, and in 3 hours, how long does it take this? How long? Five hours?
Five hours.
Right, Chicago is only 3 hours. Right? You can get from California all the way coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, 5 hours. He'll be here. He'll be here in 5 hours. So what are we going to... Is that a problem? So it's machlekes hapoiskim. This is Shaila was discussed with trains. A rechev shel esh. That's a very cool look. What? Coal, however. A rechev shel esh. Train. So you can travel with a train in a very great distance, short period of time. So this is a machlekes hapoiskim. When it says here, this comes from the Gemara. In the Gemara, of course, there were no trains. So when a guy would take a guy to travel, we're talking about walking. How does that apply with modern means of transportation? Do we say that since physically it's possible for them in today's time to travel across the world within one day, so according to the opinion that says if a guy can theoretically arrive, he is a problem. It would be a problem no matter where the guy is, say, because say pretty much today, unless the guy is, I don't know, in Australia, pretty much the guy can arrive within one day. Or do we say no, it all depends on distance of a mil of actually traveling, and then we can be very lean. So this is machlekes hapoiskim, modern poiskim, disagree over this issue. What is the bottom line? But anyway, that we have over here two opinions. In one thing is for sure, if the Jew is not present, everyone agrees it's not a problem. You have a courtyard, there are five homes, four people contribute towards the Erev, and the fifth person is a Jew, and the Jew is not here for Shabbos. He is across the street, in the courtyard across the street, and he has made a decision he's going to remain there. L'chol hadeos, that in the Jew, at least according to halacha l'maisa, is not a problem. A dira, without a living person living, is not a problem. What's the halacha l'maisa if it's the fifth house is owned by a goy? So we have here in the Mechaber two opinions. The Rama Paskin's Lakula. The two opinions are that if the first opinion, the only time the guy is not a problem, he must be more than one day's journey. Because then it's not possible for him to arrive. And therefore, if he's more than one day's journey, an empty home is not a problem. But if the guy can return within one day, we have to take that into account. He may return, and then he will be a problem. According to the second opinion, we ask the guy, are you planning to remain away from your home the entire Shabbos? If he says yes, even though he's across the street, we believe him, and the people in this courtyard are allowed to carry. But of course, if the guy does return, then there will be a problem when he returns. He'll have to stop carrying right away. All right, we'll stop here.